Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
Who's ready to continue our series this morning on ridiculous faith? Ridiculous faith, right? For several weeks now, we've been looking at and breaking down, really, Hebrews chapter 11, and we've been talking about faith. We call that the faith chapter. Sometimes we've been doing it one verse at a time, sometimes several verses at a time, but our goal is and has been to dig deeper into faith and what it really is and to raise the bar in our lives. So somebody might say, what does raise the bar mean? That is what we feel like, that's the word we feel like the Lord gave us for this year, for 2025, raise the bar. It means to believe, act, and receive all that God really has for us, and we do that by faith, right? So we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about what it is, what it means to have faith, what faith actually does, how to live and walk by it, and how faith manifests in people's lives, in believers' lives. And essentially, that is what Hebrews chapter 11 is. It is a chapter in the Word of God that starts out by defining what faith is, right? Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is, right? Now faith is. It's starting to tell us what faith is. So it starts out, defines faith, and then it proceeds to give us examples of faith that is at work in men and women's life throughout biblical history, okay? And we've gotten all the way to verses 20 through 22, which is what we're going to talk about today. Now, 2 weeks ago, how many were able to be here last week? Last week, I wasn't really able to bring the word. The Holy Spirit just kind of took over the service. People came to the altar, and we just had church, amen? And it was awesome. But 2 weeks ago, I actually talked about Abraham and the test of faith. And something I really wanted you to take away from that sermon, amongst many other things, is that although Abraham lived and walked by faith, and even though Abraham is known as the father of faith, if you go back and you look at Abraham's life, what you will see is that it did not exempt him from problems in this life. Okay? Our faith does not exempt us from problems in this life. As I said 2 weeks ago, Abraham had mountaintops, right? But he also had valleys he had to walk through. Abraham had times where he was in want, but then Abraham had times where he was very prosperous. Abraham had family problems. We can read about that between him and Lot, all right? We can read about the problems he had. Him and Sarah had problems sometimes, right? Abraham had lost ones he wanted to see saved, so he prayed and he interceded for them. Abraham had to wait on some things. He had to wait on some promises from God for many years, right? Abraham had weak moments in his walk of faith. So my point is that his faith or our faith does not exempt us from heartache, tragedy, loss, or hard times on this earth. But what our faith can do is get us through heartaches, loss, trials, and tribulations that we face here in this life. Amen? How? Because our faith grabs a hold and says, hey, there's something bigger and better than what I'm going through right here and right now. So our faith grabs a hold of that and clings to it. So our faith doesn't draw back. Paul says in Hebrews 10, we are not like those who draw back, but our faith has confidence in God and His Word and His promises. Our faith says, you know what? He who promised is faithful. He's faithful to perform it. And our faith says, hey, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So just because you give your life to Christ and you get saved, it does not mean that for the rest of your life you're going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. Okay? There will be some hard times. What it does mean, though, is that even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to be afraid because He will be with you. Amen? So today we get to Hebrews 11, and we're going to read verses 20 through 22. I'm going to be in Hebrews. I'm also going to be in Genesis. the first book of your Bible. We'll scan over a couple different verses. So let's read these three verses first. Hebrews 11, starting with verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, all these things he's mentioning are done by faith. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. That's a very interesting statement, and we're going to talk about it, okay? He gave commandment concerning his bones. So something I want us to see and something I want us to realize in these three verses about faith today is this. This is my first point, is faith is prophetic. Faith is prophetic, okay? And I want you to understand, when I say that faith is prophetic, I mean it includes and it possesses the qualities of prophecy, okay? Prophecy is not, so a lot of people hear prophecy and they start to think automatically about foretelling future events. That's prophecy. Well, that's a part of prophecy, but that's not what prophecy is as a whole. It's just a small part of it. So even though that's a part, it's not the whole thing. If you go and you look at the prophets of God in the Bible, right, what you're going to find is that a prophet's primary concern was and is with the social and political status of its nation or the nations, okay? The prophets focus mainly on morality, justice, religious idolatry, and then those that were in power, that they used that power properly. That's what they were focusing on, and if they weren't, the man of God would go tell the king or whoever was in charge, hey, you ain't doing what the word says. They would bring a word of correction. They would bring a word that would bring a stability back and a conviction to the people of God. So a prophet was not confined. A lot of times they would bring a word of correction or a word of judgment, right? But they were not confined to that. They also spoke words of encouragement. They spoke words of grace and mercy. They spoke words of a hopeful future. So not only does prophecy foretell future events, but it also speaks of our here and our now. It speaks encouragement to our here. It speaks encouragement to our now, okay? This is a very popular scripture written by the prophet Jeremiah, right? It's very, very, very popular. It's on a lot of decorations. You hear it quoted a lot. Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Okay? This is a declaration from a prophet of God. It's uplifting, it's encouraging, and it's for the now. But at the same time, that word gives hope to the future. Okay? So that's what faith does. Faith helps us get through our here's and our now's, whatever you may be going through right here and right now, but then faith grabs a hold of some of the promises of God that he's given us personally or that we find in his word, and it puts all our hope in that, and it says, listen, I know what I'm seeing. I know what I'm hearing. I know what I'm feeling. I know what I'm experiencing right now, but on top of all that, I've got a promise from God. I know that this looks impossible to me. It looks impossible to those on the outside looking in. But I got to ask, is there anything that's too hard for the Lord to do? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So I'm going to continue to trust him. I'm going to continue to hope in the promises he's given me. I may be pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. What did Paul say, right? I may be not understand it all, but I'm not left to despair. I may feel persecuted, but I'm not abandoned. I'm not alone. I know that he's with me every step of the way. He who promised is faithful. So by faith, I'm going to walk. By faith, I'm going to see. And by faith, I'm going to talk. Well, the words that are coming from my mouth are going to be prophetic in faith, confirming the promises of God. So I'm going to talk by faith, choosing to believe the promises of God. That's what faith does. It chooses to believe the promises of God. Faith gets us through the here and now. It offers encouragement for the now, but faith grabs a hold of the hope we have through God's promises. It gives us hope for the future. Okay, so in verse 20, we see that Isaac blessed his sons, Jacob and Esau. So it was words of encouragement for their now, but it gave them hope for their future. In verse 21, we see that Jacob blessed his grandsons. That was the sons of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim. Okay? If you go back and you read Genesis 48 and 49, you'll find not only did Jacob bless his grandsons, but he blessed all 12 of his sons from whom came the 12 tribes of Israel. So they were words in that moment, for words of encouragement for their now, but it also gave them hope for their future. Then in verse 22, we read this. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And Joseph is what I'm going to focus on today. And y'all should be pretty familiar with Joseph, since towards the end of last year, we actually spent 10 weeks talking about him and his life in our Path to the Promise series. Anybody remember that? Right? Okay. But here's what I want you to know again. So faith is prophetic. So that means, right? If faith is prophetic, it means faith gets us through the here and the now, but faith also gives us hope for the future. Okay. It gets us through the here and now, but it gives us hope for the future. Does anybody in this room got some now stuff that they're just dealing with? Right? Let's be honest. Okay, just about 5 or 10 of us. Wow. Maybe I should preach this word at a different church. How many's got some stuff you're going through? Right? All right, you got some stuff you're just going through, right? Just some stuff maybe you got going on right now and you're ready for it to be over with. I'm done dealing with this, right? Okay? If anybody knows anything about their faith getting them through the here and the now, it would be Joseph. It would be Joseph. If anybody could testify that God is faithful who promised, it would be Joseph, okay? Somebody say, he is faithful. Okay, I'm going to make sure y'all with me, okay? In our good times and our bad, he is, okay? Our highest mountain, our lowest valley, he is. When things seem to be going our way and when things go every which way but our way, he's still, okay? No matter what, he is, okay, we're good, we're good. Okay, so Joseph's life, it was full of ups and downs, and that's to say the least, okay? But the one thing that we know is that through all of those ups and downs, God was with Joseph, okay? I'm going to refresh your memory on some things about Joseph, maybe tell you something you didn't know, okay? Joseph was the 11th of Jacob's 12 sons, and he was also considered the favorite, right? Why was he considered the favorite? Well, Jacob, Joseph's father, gave him the coat of many colors. Right. All right. I like this participation. That gets me pumped up. He got a coat of many colors, right? That's the story we all hear about. Joseph in the coat of many colors. There's all sorts of stories, little movies and cartoons made about that and kids' church lessons. So that's the story everybody seems to gravitate to. But that's because that was in that culture, that was a big deal. Because normally it was customary for the oldest son, in this case with Jacob, it would have been Reuben, but normally the oldest son would have received something like this, and what it signified was the birthright of the firstborn son. And Jacob didn't give it to Reuben. He gave it to his 11th born son, Joseph. And because of this, the scripture tells us in Genesis 37:4 that Joseph's brothers hated him because of it. They were full of jealousy and envy, okay? Can I just stop right there and tell you that when your father clothes you in his garments and it signifies the blessing that is upon your life, it signifies the favor that is upon your life from him, the call, the anointing that is on your life from him, there may be people sometimes that get angry about that. They get a little jealous. They get a little envious about, oh, well, why did they get that blessing? Why? I'm over here and they got that. Can I just tell you, It could even be your brothers and sisters in Christ, right? This was Joseph's own brothers. Some people may get jealous, but that's okay. You just wear what Daddy gave you. You live and you walk in the favor of the Father, and you let that be between their heart and God, okay? Don't feel guilty for God's blessings on your life, okay? All right, so something happened with Joseph, okay? 17 years old, he had two dreams, two God-given dreams. And both dreams had the same result. They ended with his brothers and his family bowing down to him. Now, God had given Joseph those dreams. He just didn't tell Joseph, go blabbing your mouth about it to your brothers. But he did, because Joseph had a pride issue, and we talked about that in the series. But so he went and started kind of bragging about that a little bit. And when he did, guess what it did? It caused his brothers to hate him even more. Genesis 32, verse 8 tells you that, okay? But they hated him so much, they'd built up so much animosity against him, that they decided, hey, we're gonna kill Joseph. We're just tired of dealing with him. We're going to kill him. But after they talked about it a little bit, they said, oh, we'll just throw him in this pit. Then they talked about it a little more, and they said, why not make some money off of him, get rid of him at the same time? So they sold him into slavery to some Ishmaelites, okay? And so then they took Joseph's coat of many colors, they dipped it in animal's blood, they took it to their father Jacob, and they convinced him, got him to believe that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal, okay? All the while, Joseph was sold by them into slavery, and he was taken down into Egypt to a place called Potiphar's house, who was actually an officer of Pharaoh. I'll just read that to you. Genesis 39, verses 1 and 2. It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, right, through all this. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So even through the betrayal of his own brothers, even through the pit that he was thrown down into, even through as a slave now in Egypt, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was still faithful to Joseph, and the Lord had still given Joseph some future promises through those dreams that he could hold on to by faith. So Joseph kept, despite what was happening, he kept moving forward with hope for the future, through faith, trusting the promises of God. You want to talk about raising the bar in your life? After going through all that Joseph had been through, right? And he still said, I choose to still believe. I still choose to act and carry myself in a way that says, despite all that has happened, or despite everything that could happen, I'm still going to trust God. I'm going to believe, I'm going to act that way, and I'm going to receive what he's promised me. Joseph raised the bar in his life. Are we? It's a good question to ask. So Joseph was highly favored while he was at Potiphar's house. He was made the overseer of Potiphar's house and over everything that Potiphar had. Things had gotten real bad for Joseph at one time. Now things are starting to look up, right? But here comes Potiphar's wife. Here she comes. And she was stricken by Joseph's good looks, his great personality, his impeccable character. A lot of men are sitting here thinking, I sound a lot like Joseph. Keep telling yourself that, bud. I did it. Okay, I did it. I'm guilty. But Potiphar's wife, pretty much day by day, said day by day, She begged, she pleaded, she tempted Joseph to lie with her. Until it eventually got to a point, and this is in Andrew's own terms, right? Till Joseph said, listen, woman, I'm too grateful and thankful to your husband who's treated me with such goodness and kindness to do such a thing. On top of that, I respect you too much to do such a thing. And on top of all that, how could I do such a thing and sin against God? Right? Well, that answer wasn't good enough for Potiphar's wife. So eventually what she did, she grabbed a hold of him. Come here, big boy. She tries to have her way. But it says that he fled from her. And he ran. And he left his garments in her hand. Now, I contemplated if I was going to say this or not. But I'm going to say it anyway. Some of y'all need to run from that person that's trying to be in a relationship with you. because you've already seen the red flags, and you know they're not trying to lead you into a place that promotes your relationship with God, but actually goes against what he's already said, and you need to pull a Joseph and say, see ya, sucker. Somebody praise the Lord. So you know what Potiphar's wife does? She actually takes Joseph's garment. She lies about Joseph. She falsely accuses Joseph of trying to take advantage of her. And he's thrown into prison because of it. Okay? So here we are twice now in Joseph's life. He's been clothed with garments, right? They've been blessings. But others have used those things to try to cover their own sins. Okay? First, his brothers used his coat of many colors to try to lie to their father and convince him that Joseph had been killed when really they had sold him into slavery. Secondly, now Potiphar's wife has used his garments to convince her husband that Joseph attacked her, right? Listen, the enemy may come and try to strip you of everything on the outside that God has placed on you, but he can never take the God on the inside of you away, right? Listen, it doesn't alter the fact that he who promises faithful. So he can strip, he can try to steal, he can try to kill, he can try to destroy, but God can turn everything for good and for his glory. Can I get an amen? Amen. Genesis 39, 20 and 21 says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with, it makes sure to tell us every step of the way, the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Didn't matter where he went. The favor of God was still on his life. The enemy tried to strip him everywhere he went of everything he had, but the favor could not, I love what Justin always says, favor's not fair. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do. It's just there. The favor of God was on his life. The Lord was with him. So in the midst of tragedy and turmoil for Joseph, God was with him. God was faithful. He was bound in prison for only doing what was right. Yet his faith in God is still going to see him through. Now I want to fast forward a little bit here to get where I want to get. So Joseph, while he's in prison, he's given revelation. He's given wisdom from God to be able to interpret two dreams from Pharaoh's butler and Pharaoh's baker. Okay? They come to prison with him. They have these dreams. He interprets them. Eventually, that lands him in the presence of Pharaoh, who he interprets dreams for. He says, hey, there's going to be abundance in the land. There's going to be a famine in the land. We need to store up during the abundance so we can survive the famine. Okay? He does all that. And because he does all that, Pharaoh makes Joseph second in command in all of Egypt. At that time, was the most powerful country in the world. So eventually, the abundance comes, they store up, then the famine comes for 7 years, and into that famine, guess what it causes? It causes Joseph's family, his brothers and his father, to come to Egypt looking for food. And when they get there, they bow down to Joseph without even knowing it's him. And the dreams, his promises from God, from his youth, were fulfilled. He who promised is faithful, okay? Now, from the beginning of those dreams to the fulfillment of those dreams, there was a lot that happened. There were some really good times for Joseph. There were some really, really, really bad times for Joseph. But as we read, God was with Joseph through it all, and he was faithful in fulfilling what he promised him. So Joseph now has been through enough and seen enough to know that God is faithful. And that gets me to where we were in Hebrews 11. Because Joseph became so confident in the promises and the faithfulness of God and his future promises that as he was dying, okay, as he was dying, Joseph actually makes a prophetic statement by faith. And he tells the children of Israel this. This is Genesis 50, verses 24 and 25. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying. I'm dying. But God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, out of the land of Egypt, right? That's where they were. will bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob. That's called the promised land, okay? Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel. He made them promise. He took an oath from the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you. That lets me know Joseph had no doubt, right? He had no doubt. God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph's saying, listen, God is faithful. I done seen enough, been through enough to know that he's faithful, right? And he is faithful even in death. This is what he's saying. And this is what I know. I'm dying right now, but God gave our forefathers a promise, right? And you're all here now because you had to survive the famine, and we've grown and we've survived. But God's going to visit us in this place here in Egypt, and he's going to bring us out of this place to a place back to the promised land that he gave to Abraham and Isaac and our father Jacob. He's bringing us back. And when he does, not if he does, but when he does, I want you to promise that you're going to take my bones with you to that promised land to be buried. That's what he's saying. Talk about knowing that God is faithful, that God is who he says he is, that God will do what he says he'll do. Joseph knew this, right? His life was living proof of it. Joseph's faith in God got him through his here's and now's, right? And he had some pretty bad here and now's. Can I get an amen? Right? But Joseph's faith in God also kept him looking forward to the future promises of God. It gave him hope. Now, this is what I love about this story. Approximately 122 years later, after Joseph has died, God raises up Moses, right? And he chose Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? It's called the Great Exodus. We're going to talk more about Moses next week. So there was this great Exodus. You read about it in the book of Exodus. All right? God does visit his people in Egypt. He does. He sends these miracle signs and wonders to convince Pharaoh to let my people go, right? So he comes just like Joseph said by faith that he would. And now Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt. Check this out. Moses was careful to take the bones of Joseph with him. Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under a solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. Okay, so somewhere around 122 years after Joseph made this statement, by faith, prophetically, his bones are now being carried out of Egypt. So they go out. We know the story. They cross the Red Sea. But then they get to the wilderness. They start bickering, complaining. They have lack of faith in God. And so they spend how long? 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness because of their lack of faith. And then they finally get to the border of the promised land. Moses has led them there. He's not going to get to go in the promised land, but he sees it, right? Moses passes, and then there is a new leader named. His name is Joshua. He's the successor of Moses. He's chosen to lead the Israelites into the promised land, okay? And Joshua is careful to carry the bones of Joseph with them. Joshua 24, verse 32. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem, in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. So 162 years after his death, Joseph's bones are buried in the promised land. Listen, Amanda, you can come. Joseph's life is a reminder of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. It's something I think we all take for granted, the faithfulness of God. So, something I believe if we actually grabbed a hold of, could help us get through our here's and our now's. But sadly, a lot of times when things seem to be going wrong and things seem to be falling apart, we tend to ask God, where are you at? Where are you at? We begin to question His faithfulness. We begin to question His promises. When in reality, as we read with Joseph, He was right there with us. He's right here with us. We tend to point the finger and blame Him a lot of times for when things go wrong, instead of trusting Him to see us through, as He did Joseph, time and time again. But listen to me. I want the people here at Remnant Church to be the kind of people that when the enemy comes in like a flood, we can look him dead in the eye and say, but my God is faithful. He's faithful. But my God has given me some promises. And I know this is what I'm experiencing, but I know what He's already said. And what He has said already trumps everything I'm experiencing. I want us to be able to look back at the enemy and say, as Joseph said, right? He said this to his brothers, Genesis 50:20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, right? You meant to destroy me. But God meant it for good. Why? In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. I want us to be a people that through our testimonies of God and His faithfulness, through our testimonies of God's unfailing love for us, many might be saved. Many might be saved. That through our faith in Him, in our here's and our now's, through every trial and tribulation on earth, that we will grab a hold of the promises of God that are given to us in this word, and we'll keep pressing towards the mark for the high calling and the prize that is in Christ Jesus. That we hold it to our heart dearly. That in every situation in life, no matter how good, no matter how bad, we could look at things through the eyes of faith and say prophetically, God, just as you visited the Israelites in Egypt, you will visit me. I know, because I know who you are, and you are faithful. And you will get me through the here, you will get me through the now, and I trust you and I believe you that you're going to turn my situations and my life around, because you've given me hope, you've given me future, and according to the prophet Jeremiah, that is your plans for me. To prosper me, to give me hope, to give me future. That is who our God is. I want everybody to stand to your feet. I asked you this at the beginning, halfway into it, I guess. But who here would say, I've got some here's and now's that I'm struggling with in life? Just got some things going on in life that you're struggling with, you're going through. I don't care if it's financial problems, emotional, mental, relational, whatever. You just got some issues in life. I got issues. I'll be the first to admit it. I'm not going to stand up here too proud and say I don't have issues. I got here's and now's that I got to deal with, right? How many's got some in your life right now that you need the Lord to deal with, right? Right? Who's got some promises that you know from God that you've been tempted to say, I don't know if this is going to happen? Just be honest. Throw your hand up. Been there. There's no condemnation here, right? There's been times in my life where I've had promises from God where I thought, I don't know if this is ever going to happen. When doubt comes in, you know who that's from. Who's it from? When doubt comes in, who's that from? Satan. Right? If you got a promise from God, you better take it to the bank. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I guarantee you He'll do it. I don't care if it's 162 years after you're dead and gone from this earth. His word remains true. It remains true. But sometimes we get caught up in the cares of this life and we say, I don't know if this is going to happen. We got to rebuke that. Every thought that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God, what God has already said, we got to take that thought captive and cast it down. So if there's doubt, this morning we're going to cast those thoughts down. If there's here's and nows you're struggling with, we're going to grab a hold of faith and the promises of God and say, I know he's going to get me through. Who wants to look the devil in the face and say, God's getting ready to turn this thing around, bub? Right? Who wants to do that? Throw your hand up. I want to tell you, God's getting ready to turn that thing around for you. How can I say that? I say it by faith. Because he said, I will work all things together for good for those who love me and are called according to my purpose. Right? This is what I know. He loves you. And if you love him, he's going to turn it for good. Amen? Amen. They're going to begin to sing. I'm not forcing you, but if you raised your hand for any of those reasons and you want to receive, you want to raise the bar in your life this morning, I want you to come to this altar as they begin to sing, and we're going to connect our faith together. If two shall agree upon a thing, it shall be established, and we're going to see God. We're going to raise the bar. We're going to see God do some things and turn some things around this morning. So as they sing, would you come?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.